Good morning, everybody. So just a story of what's happened this past week is Gert, who oversees all of our finances, just sent me a message with two offerings that were made for Sowing September. So the reference was Sowing September, so we know it's for that. One was for an amount of 210,000 rand, a single deposit, and the other one was for 100 rand. And normally I don't want to know who gives, because I just want to love everybody the same and know that I know the deceit and within my own heart that that may skew things. But I do know who gave these two amounts. And the reason that I say the 100 rand and the 210,000 rand is because I know for both of them, they were sacrificial giving. For both of them. For the one, that 100 rand was sacrificial giving in faith. And the other was also. And so I want to encourage us that Sowing September is not about the amount, but it is about a heart disposition of giving generously. We all have different capabilities within our wealth and how we have been able, what access to money we've had over the years. We all have different capability. It's by the Spirit of God in the generosity of the kingdom and his ways that we are encouraging us to sow seed, to secure the future of another generation. We want to secure the future of another generation. That's our dream. And so so I'm just so grateful to God for that. So who knows, or who believes that laughter is good medicine? Okay, some of us. A recent study has shown that your blood vessels relax when you're laughing, which sends 20% more blood through your body. And so relaxed blood vessels mean your heart doesn't have to work as hard, which means you are likely to have a healthier and full life. Laughter is good for you. I'm so grateful that God has put systems in place that are good for us. Who knew that the cardiovascular system would result in the way that it all works with us? Just if we laugh, it's good for us. And so just a gentle encouragement for those of us that are in the room that maybe don't laugh very much. May I encourage you, find something to laugh about. You will live something more of the fullness of God, which Jesus came to give us, because Jesus came for us to have fullness of life. So he has the cardiovascular system. Who doesn't believe, this is a rhetorical question, just by the way, who doesn't believe that God likes systems? We see the cardiovascular system. We see the nervous system. We see the digestive system. We see the solar. Thank you, Zer. The solar system. All of creation actually works on systems. God likes systems because he has ordered his creation. He also has a financial system, so that it works, our finances work well. Work well. And so our desire in this series called Worth It, as we're in this month of Sowing September, is for us as pastors to help us find a more full expression of life. I'm so conscious that when we talk about money, that there could be one of a couple of responses, but two predominant ones. One being, I have nothing, and my testimony shows that my financial literacy is not very great, and therefore, are you going to shame me? There is nothing in any of the pastors that are teaching this series that wants to shame anybody, ever, in any subject. The second could be, okay, well, I have been blessed financially. I do have some wealth. Here's the church asking for money. I'm not asking for money at all. But my desire is that everybody, whether wealthy or not wealthy, whether lots of money or little money, that everybody can find the financial system of God in order that you can have fullness of life. We desire to have relational peace. We desire to have work peace. Likewise, we desire to have financial peace. And if I were to ask in this room who carries some financial stress in their life, the majority of us would raise our hands. The beauty is God has not left us, nor desired us to live with financial stress. And he has revealed a system. He's revealed a series of principles that allow us to walk in greater freedom. I once was offered by someone in this community, in this church, a chocolate brownie. She said, "I've just baked these chocolate brownies. They are delicious." I'm a fan of chocolate brownies, and so I gratefully received one. And as I bit into it, I was not able to practice what my wife always asked me to practice. She says, "Richard, everybody can see what you're thinking on your face. Can you just try and control your face?" Unfortunately, what I bit into, there was no hope for me to control my face. It was very unchocolate brownie-like. It was very bitter. It was very dry. It was ugly. And this person who had baked them for me, with all the joy in her face, was like, "And? This is really not good." She goes, it's a chocolate brownie, but I just swapped out some ingredients. So there's no cocoa, there's no sugar, and there's no milk in this. So I'm like, so it's not a chocolate brownie. All the ingredients that make a chocolate brownie aren't in here. No, it is. It's a chocolate brownie. No, it's not. It's a substitute. And it's a very bad one. I didn't say that. I was a little bit more gracious. But I think my face said that. And we sit here today, and we can understand that around, don't give me a chocolate brownie that doesn't have cocoa, milk, and sugar in it, because it's just not a chocolate brownie. And likewise, God has some financial systems. He has a financial system that, like a recipe, it has ingredients that make things work. And when we try to substitute ingredients, we wonder why we don't quite live in the fullness of the blessing of God. I'm just going to swap out the cocoa for this. I'm just going to swap out the sugar for this. I'm just going to swap out the milk for this. And here's a chocolate brownie. No, it doesn't work that way. So many of us, in the financial system of God, we like the idea, the principle of increase. Who likes that? Yeah. Principle of increase. I can understand the principle of stewardship. Yeah, you got to look after your things. The principle of sowing and reaping. Oh, I love to reap. Sowing, not so sure. The principle of tithing. I'm going to swap out that ingredient. I'm going to just let that one go by the side. You get something of the idea? When it comes to financial freedom and the fullness of life that we have on offer for us, there is a system, there is an order that God has done, which he has put into all of creation and every environment, that if we follow the principles, there is life to be gained. When we swap out ingredients, we end up in trouble. Our story today is going to come from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. This is where we're going to start off to help us understand today's message, which I will reveal to you after reading this. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Can you imagine bringing forth a man, ladies? Oh, come on, I've just told you that laughter is good for us. Let's learn to laugh a little bit more. It's good for you to live, even if it's a very bad joke. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. So one was a herdsman, and one was a vegetable farmer. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Jesus, we pray that as we unpack this scripture today, we pray, Spirit of God, that you would teach us, show us, allow our minds to understand that this would not just be a lesson, but this would be transformative for us. because you've come that we may have life and have it to the full, and you have a system that works in every area of life. But today we're talking about money. And so would you help us to understand the system and act upon it that we may have freedom and life. And so work amongst us, we pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So part of God's financial system is this. So we're in week 3 of this finance. We've got another 2 weeks after this. It will be 5 things. So the first one, 2 Sundays ago, we looked at what the purpose of wealth was. So for us to understand the recipe, we have to understand what the recipe is trying to accomplish. And so the first one was the purpose of wealth. I encourage you again to listen to it. Again, not so that we can get a download, but so that you can find financial freedom. And then we started last week at looking at the principle of increase. 4 principles. The principle of increase, the principle of the first, the principle of stewardship, and the principle of sowing and reaping. God's financial system. And so we did the principle of increase last week, and today we're looking at the principle of the first. In kind of church terminology, it would be the tithe. So that's what we're going to talk about, and we're going to try and understand that a little bit better today. Is that okay? So that's where we are going today. If we neglect the principle of increase, we will always lack. If we neglect the stewardship principle, we'll have nothing to show for our work. If we neglect the principle of sowing and reaping, we'll never see miracles. And if we neglect the principle of the first, we'll always have holes in our pockets. For those that maybe don't know that phrase, it's just money kind of just leaks everywhere. Like we put it in our pocket and it disappears. And there is a reason for that. And so today we're going to talk about the principle of the first. And so point number 1, first means first. First means first. Work with me, all right? So in this story that we've just read about Cain and Abel, we see that Cain's offering was rejected and Abel's offering was accepted. Now it is not because one was meat and one was vegetables. It was because Abel brought of his first fruits, whereas Cain took of his whole harvest, measured it out, understood what he had left, and then brought that to God. And God said, actually, that I do not accept. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, okay, so what's the difference between bringing something that is measured in the whole pot and bringing the first? What is the difference? Why is one acceptable and one not acceptable? It's a very simple principle. It does not require faith to give out of the full measurement or to give after you have used all your money on everything else. It only takes faith to give of your first because you're not sure if you're going to get to the end. And so Abel brought of his firstborn lambs. There was no guarantee that any of the ewes in his flock were going to give birth. And there was no, if they were going to give birth, there was no guarantee that those little lambs would survive. And so it was by faith that Abel took of his first and gave, not knowing that he would have anything left. But the scripture says Cain took some of the fruit that he had harvested. So Cain knew all that he had brought in, and he was able to measure, that's going to go for that, 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 and I can bring this to God. It didn't require faith. All the people that study the scriptures, called theologians, all agree on that principle. There is no disunity amongst all theologians over 2,000 years of studying the scriptures that would argue that that is not the point, that would argue against that being the point of what God is trying to accomplish through this story. And so one was bringing the first, which is by faith, and one was bringing of the leftover, which requires no faith. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says this, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." And so, quite literally in the scriptures, a tithe means 10, a tenth. And so there is good precedent to understand that at least 10% needs to be brought into God's house. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. But God actually goes a little bit further. It's not just a tenth. It's the first tenth. And so Proverbs 3 verse 9 says this, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all of your increase. This is a big deal. The big deal is faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there are probably two groups of people, or three groups of people in broad category in this room. One group of people would battle to give a tenth in any shape or form. God wants to invite you into his financial system for your freedom. For your freedom. You can take a step to your financial freedom. Secondly, there may be people who believe in giving a tenth, but you're not so sure about giving it to the church. The scriptures won't really say that you're able to be blessed in that. And so some of you are busy giving money away because you're generous, but not bringing it to the storehouse, and you're wondering why there's still holes in your pocket. Because God has a way, he has an order to our finances. And the third group are comfortable giving of your 10% into the storehouse, and you have seen the hand and the provision of God over the years, and that's the testimony. We're most likely to fit into one of those three categories. And for every single one of you, the invitation is into a faith story. Take your next step in the faith journey. Some people ask this question, do I give of my gross amount or on my net amount? Like before tax or after tax? And this is where the point comes in, that first means first. If the taxes go off and government get first, that means God gets second. First means first. And it's by faith that we trust that God is a provider. And so if we're having to trust God for provision anyway, let's follow his system and give it first. Because any which way, whether it's pre-tax or post-tax, my guess is all of us are still relying on God to do something miraculous with our money so that we don't get to the end of the month and we have more expenses than we do money. Probably most of us in the room are living in that space. And so it is by faith that we bring of our first, and first means first. And we do this because God bound himself to the same law, to the same principle. We read in the scriptures that God so loved the world that he gave his firstborn son. Some translations, his only son. And so God gave of his first in order that Jesus would become the first amongst many brothers and sisters. And so many of us in this room who have come to know Jesus, we become brothers and sisters of Jesus, but God gave his first. So God bound himself to the very same principle that he's asking us to bind ourselves to. Will you give of your first? Isn't it freeing when we know that God did the same thing? I find that incredibly helpful, that God doesn't live by a different set of rules to what he asks us to live by. We talk about holiness codes, and actually these holiness codes are just systems or orders or principles of life that lead us to fullness of life under the empowerment of the Spirit of God. The second point is this. The first determines the authority of God's house. The first determines the authority of God's house. Hang in there with me. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. So this is a prophet that God has chosen to represent God to the people. Prophets spoke on behalf of God to the people of God. Priests represented the people of God to God himself. Prophets represented God to the people. Just if you want to understand the difference between priests and prophets. And so this is a prophet representing God speaking to the people. And he says this in chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the riches and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. This sounds like a system. If you do this, this is what happens. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. So here is Malachi speaking on behalf of God to the people, saying, there is an order to this financial thing, friends. You are under a curse. You're struggling. Your crops are struggling. You are living under this. But actually, there's a way to blessing. And the way to blessing is bring the tithe, bring the first into the storehouse. And so there's this story that God is trying to teach us that the first determines the authority of God's house. What we see amongst people today and amongst believers today is there's a falling away from the church. Oh, I'm happy to believe in Jesus. I give my life to Jesus. But the church, that thing has hurt me. That thing's a bit ugly. I hear there's some pastors that put their hands in the till. That thing doesn't all go. Maybe there's not such great stewardship. I'm sorry if you've experienced any of that. The point still stands, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, that Jesus gave himself for the church. That's what he gave himself for. The first of God in heaven was given to the church. And so our first financially gets given to the church. Why? So that there may be food on my table. How does God take care of his community? We're all trusting for the miraculous, but God's actually given ourselves to the church because he knows that in the church there are some that have greater financial means and there are some that have lesser financial means. And so how do we look after one another? How do we make sure we've all got food? Well, we share of our resources. We bring a tenth because maybe those that have much financially have less emotionally and they need some psychological help. And maybe those that have a little bit less are able to help those that need that emotional help. It's just the way of God's church. It's a system. It's an order. It's a principle. And so the authority rests in the church. That's where God has put it, in the church. Jesus as the head of the church, formed together, bound together by the Spirit, bound together in unity by the Spirit. And so if you have taken the first step of believing that a tenth, that a tithe goes to God, but you're not yet convinced of the church, and so you're giving that 10% elsewhere, may I suggest you're just throwing your money away? I don't mean to be harsh, but I do want to be firm. Because I see too many people in financial brokenness, and there is an order which brings life. It's attainable. And God hasn't kept the system from us. He hasn't kept the principles from us. He's revealed them to us. And so that's my every desire, is to reveal them to us so that we can take hold of them. He says, bring the tithe. You don't give the tithe. You can't give what's not yours. And so sometimes we don't understand this in the financial terms. So I'll use an example which maybe we can more relate to. Let's say Ryan, this is Ryan sitting in the front here in the Springbok jersey, not the all black jersey, Keith, in the Springbok jersey. Ryan lends me a car for his car for the weekend. And so I pick it up Friday night, Saturday I'm going, and I just have a very generous moment as I see someone that doesn't have a car. And just in God, I'm overcome with irrational generosity, which is one of our values, and I just give the car away to this person. And then on Sunday night, Ryan phones me, hey, Rich, when are you going to bring the car back? Oh, Ryan, I was just following God, man. I had a moment of irrational generosity, and I just gave your car away. Like, we all laugh at that. We all laugh at that. But this is what we do all the time. This is what we do all the time. We give away what's not ours to give. we bring the first 10%, which is God's, to his church, to his storehouse. And it's because God desires, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's so that there will be food in my house. May I say this, that some of us come here Sunday after Sunday, and there's no transformative work taking place within us. The word of God doesn't get into us. May I suggest that there is room in this scripture to argue that because you don't bring your tithe into the church, because there's no authority of the church in your life, the word of God is not powerful and active in you. Again, I'm not wanting to be harsh. I'm just desperate to see greater financial freedom. I don't want the church to look like everybody else outside of the church. We are to represent the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has financial freedom and order and generosity and life. But it has a system. It has a system. Christ gave himself for the church. He committed himself to the church. Should we be any less? And yes, this principle applies to more than just finances. We shouldn't be any less in our finances, but even in our whole beings, are we committed to the church? Because it's for the church that Jesus died. He's committed to the church. The firstborn son of heaven was given to the church. Number three, the first unlocks the rest. The first unlocks the rest. You see, to understand the ways of God, we do have to understand his character. And so many people may say, well, why does God need the 10%? He doesn't need the money. Neither is he trying to make us less wealthy. Neither is he trying to get us humble. He just has a system and an order that says, actually, I want to get every blessing to you. I want you to increase. I want you to be generous. Actually, part of the salvation of all humanity rests in how we steward our finances so we can get the gospel, so we can show the loving heart of God. God's heart as a loving father is, I want to bless you. And he has an order. And so if we don't follow the first part of the order, the rest doesn't get unlocked. We can't just swap out ingredients in the recipe and call it a chocolate brownie. God is good, and he always wants something for us more than he wants something from us. Does tithing make God love you more? Absolutely not. He cannot love you more than he loves you right now. Does tithing mean I get into heaven? Absolutely not. Only the death and the resurrection of Jesus and your belief in that and your confession of that gets you into heaven. So why do we tithe? Well, because we'll never see all that God has for us if we don't. There is so much more. There is so much more. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about seed that falls on four different types of ground. Some of us may know the story and others may not. But we're going to read just in one part of that ground in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, they enter in and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Cares, deceitfulness, desires, they're choking out God's blessing. We spoke last Sunday of the principle of increase, which is in the creation, in the foundation of all creation, which is be fruitful, then multiply, and then rule over the earth. We all like the rule over the earth bit, but we don't know about the hard work of, we're not sure about the hard work of being fruitful. See, we can't multiply unless we've got something to be fruitful of. If there's no fruit, there's no more seed to multiply. And so this part of the first unlocks the rest is this, that if we're unable to bring the tithe into the storehouse, bring the first fruits by faith, we bring it into the thing that Jesus died for, the church.
that 90% is going to be like holes in the pockets, just disappears. There will be no miraculous. There will be no signs and wonders. There will be no blessing. Not because God is mean, but because he's put a system in place that requires faith. The scriptures say the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And we do have to admit that we love money. Because if we didn't, it wouldn't be so hard to part with it. So there is something in us that that does say that we love it. But it's this choking out. It's because we take our eyes off Jesus. It's because it's not by faith. And we worry, is there going to be more expense at the end of the month than money there is in the bank account? We worry about these things. And it's like thorns. It's like seed being planted amongst thorns that it grows up, but we get choked out. We get choked out. The invitation today is, can you hear the word of God for your freedom, friends? What happens when it unlocks the rest is we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So there's an increase, then a great harvest, and then generosity. You will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. And so Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he's saying, guys, this is where we're aiming. We're aiming at the principle of sowing and reaping. That's the end of the financial system, because the reaping is the increase. The reaping is the blessing. The reaping is the blessing after being generous. But there is an order, there is a first. There is a way. And so we will get to talk in 2 weeks' time on the principle of sowing and reaping. But God is not asking us to stop at the tithe. That's the entry point into the financial system. And so this is kind of like the basic first step of God. Bring your tithe into the storehouse. Then I get to unlock the rest, which means increase, generosity, blessing, reaping, harvest, etc., etc., etc. We all love that. We all love that. And so, friends, today's message is just about the principle of the first. There is a recipe. There are ingredients. I trust you've been able to make the switch. So these ingredients, they're principles of God. There is a purpose for wealth. And within that purpose, there's the principle of increase, the principle of the first, the principle of stewardship, the principle of sowing and reaping. When we put all of these ingredients into the pot and we mix it up, what comes out is financial blessing. Not for our own benefit only, but so that others may call on the name of Jesus. First means first. The first determines the authority of God's house. And the first unlocks the rest.